It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Chris Molina. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up later in the program, a Wisconsin-based researcher tells us why vacant buildings in American cities may not be as empty as you think, and why that can be a good thing.
First, President Trump's policy on illegal immigration has seen some significant pushback this week. Protesters marched in dozens of cities across the country yesterday, rallying against the administration's policy that results in the separation of families at the border.
A number of conservative religious leaders are also criticizing the policy. Those criticisms prompted this response from Attorney General Jeff Sessions yesterday.
Persons who violate the law of our nation are subject to prosecution. If you violate the law, you subject yourself to prosecution. And I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes.
Sarah McKinnon is an immigration expert and associate professor of communication arts at UW-Madison. Sarah, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's start off with what has changed in border enforcement under the Trump administration.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently, a program that was piloted in 2017 is beginning to ramp up, where border officials, ICE, as well as Border Patrol, are separating families at the border. And these are largely Central American families along the U.S.-Mexico border.
And the policy doesn't directly say separate families. It's kind of an indirect outcome, as I understand it, that the adults are being subjected to criminal prosecution much more often, basically across the board, which they weren't necessarily in the past.
Yeah, that's right. So effectively what's happening with the criminalization of immigration is once someone is apprehended at the border, they are put into deportation proceedings, which are connected to being criminal offenses. And at that point, children are separated from the families. And the government is effectively saying that this is necessary to do so we can begin the proceedings, the criminal proceedings, and children can be placed in protections.
And as I understand it, this is mostly about people who cross the way we think of as illegally crossing, not at a border site. It also, in some cases, do I have this right, people who come up and present themselves for asylum hearings at a recognized border crossing?
Yeah, that's correct. So it's happening across the board along the U.S.-Mexico border, so both at recognized ports of entry as well as other unrecognized sites. And in both instances, these may be individuals that would be applying for asylum, which is a protection for individuals who have a fear of persecution.
And now what's happening to the kids? I understand there's there are new sites where these kids are going. What's the policy on where they go and how they're treated?
Apparently there are new sites. Prior, there were some children that were being placed in kind of the social services system. There are facilities that house children, but as we learned recently, ICE has lost many of the children. They don't know where, and they can't, you know, record where these individuals are. And so there's been a significant ramping up of children being detained, effectively placed in detention. And also there's a sense of not knowing where some of these individuals are.
And people are sharing stories of how the children are being separated, parents being told their child was being taken to, I have questions asked of them, to be bathed in some cases. And we're seeing a lot more protests and reaction in response to the tactics as well as the separations.
That's right.
Themselves.
And the facilities there are highly under question, what the procedures are, what it looks like within the facilities, the care that children are being receiving, education services. And so there's a lot of nebulousness around this program. And I think in large part, this is why we're seeing a significant pushback in terms of the protests, because of the outrage of the inhumanity that it seems like the children are being treated under.
And we've heard their Attorney General Jeff Sessions saying, hey, this is just enforcing the law. President Trump has said he doesn't like this separation, but it stems from laws passed by Democrats and has called on them to change those laws. Is that, in your understanding of the law, accurate?
As far as I could tell, that is not accurate, that those were not laws that were in place, put into place by Democrats, nor was it something in terms of an interpretation. I mean, it really seems that this is an interpretation of an existing law.
talking to Sarah McKinnon from UW-Madison about recent immigration enforcement issues, protests, especially regarding the separations of families at the border. You study asylum laws quite a bit, and those have changed some. Restrictions are new restrictions on people who might have filed for asylum based on fears of domestic violence, for example. That's one of those changes. And the Trump administration looking for more changes beyond that. Can you talk about the role of asylum law?
Absolutely. So since 1967, the U.S. implemented or signed on to the right of non-refoulement. So that means that anyone who comes to the U.S. has the right to claim asylum, and they have the right to have the whole process that goes through. Well, this right to remain and throughout the process, I think we're seeing significant limitations put on that. Recently, we see that with the Attorney General's decision about domestic violence not being recognized as a social group under which you might claim asylum. The same is true with those that are fearing gang-related violence. And this is in large part connected to Central Americans who are fleeing Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, the Northern Triangle. And we see significant issues and concerns around violence in that area. And so I really see this as a mode of limiting the types of claims that Central Americans have and might be able to make through the asylum system.
And Attorney General Sessions has said, hey, the asylum laws are supposed to be for people who have been oppressed by their government in particular. And he says these are private crimes, domestic violence, gang violence. That, he says, doesn't apply. Does that fit your understanding of how asylum law works?
International law says that asylum is available when a government is unable or unwilling to provide for one's security. And so this is really a matter of interpretation. Attorney General Sessions is taking a very narrow interpretation of what political violence means. This is not the first time that we've seen this in the U.S. system of law. It wasn't until 2009, actually, that someone could validly claim domestic violence as a form of persecution. So this is quite recent, and so we're seeing a return back to a very narrow definition of the political, specifically in relation to types of violence that might be interpreted as private. And domestic violence, historically in U.S. asylum law, has existed in that interpretation.
The House is considering immigration measures right now. Mixed messages from the president today. He said he didn't like what he was seeing there, but then the White House clarified that he didn't understand a question being asked to him, I think. What are you watching for in Congress right now when it comes to asylum laws and the separation of families?
So that it looks like that the moderate bill that has been proposed at the House is addressing four particular issues. So sounds like ramped up monies for border enforcement, shifts to the asylum law. That's unclear to me what the particulars of those shifts are going to be. So that's something that I'll be looking for. And I think the significant aspect is it creates an aspect of immigration acceptance, approval for DACA available, DACA-eligible individuals. I really see that as a kind of divide-and-conquer strategy that perhaps Republicans are putting forth. So allowing students to have very slow process to possibly receive immigration, naturalization, legalization, while the others are thrown under the bus. And immigration activist groups are not going to fall for that. That's really a divide-and-conquer strategy that I think we've seen across the board and we'll probably continue to see.
As we wrap up, asylum status in particular, are you concerned that we are just going to dial back as a nation the numbers of people who are accepted for asylum status?
Perhaps. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, the United States does not really accept a lot of asylum seekers already. There are not many refugees in total in the country. I think the number is 0.08 refugees per 100,000 inhabitants in the United States. That's not a large number. But as we've seen historically with the Trump administration, they are really targeting refugee and asylum policy. So I won't be surprised if there are limitations to that.
Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Sarah McKinnon, immigration expert at UW-Madison, with us to talk about the latest on the Trump administration's policy that results in the separation of families at the border.